Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
We're going to turn to the Word of the Lord while you're getting your Bibles. Doesn't it look good to see some progress out here on the west side? Come on now. How many would like to be a part of that progress? Well, that wasn't near as responsive as pulling up and seeing something, was it? Let's try this again. How many would like to be a part of the progress? Well, I tell you what. We're going to give you the opportunity to be blessed. To be a part of the progress. That you can say somewhere to your grandchild, if the Lord should tarry, I stood on the top of that first floor. Tomorrow afternoon, 3:00, we need some men, guys, boys to show up. Be a part of progress. We need you to help us put sheeting on the top of that first floor. We need you to be able to lift it up there and others on the top pulling it up. A lot of hands make light work. So if you can begin gathering in around 3:00, it would be a great blessing and help over the next couple of days. In fact, Monday and Tuesday, depending how we get done tomorrow. But Monday and Tuesday both, we're going to need some help in that area. And everybody said, amen. Isn't it fun being a part of the work of God? The kingdom of the Lord. Praise God. We celebrate today with Dallas. Happy birthday, Dallas. God bless you, man. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 59, the 59th chapter. That Old Testament prophet's book called Isaiah. Isaiah 59. Read a few verses there in your hearing this morning. Isaiah 59, verse number 1. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Get the picture. Nothing wrong with God. His hand's not short and His ear's not heavy. He said, but your sins have separated between you and your God and has hid His face. Now this has left them in a very precarious position. Look at verse number 9. This is now the musing of the people. Judgment is far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. And with tomorrow's event very prevalent on everybody's mind, I preach from this subject today, America's eclipse. America's eclipse. Would you ask the Lord to help us now? Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, for your help. In the next little while, to break the bread of life, to take those things you've deposited in our heart and help us, dear God, to communicate them, articulate them, Lord, so that our hearts, God, are made aware. We need you, Lord, in this house. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Would you lift your hand now in your voice, and would you give God great praise all across the sanctuary, magnifying Him here in this building together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you today, Lord, and I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, would you put your hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Praise God, praise God. You may be seated. God bless you. To say that we are living in a prophetic moment indeed is an understatement, because we are presently in the environment that we are living in, and at the time frame that we now walk, we are literally seeing prophecy fulfilled in front of us, spoken of by none other than Jesus Christ Himself, as He gave instruction about what to look for as we drew near to His second coming. He was asked a question by the disciples, very specifically, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And we are seeing what He gave to them as signs of His coming and of the end of the world. We are seeing it literally fulfilled before our eyes. On a social and a natural level, we are seeing these things fulfilled. He said that there would come famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. We are seeing literally those things happen. They say between 1860 and the year 2016 that there's over 128 million people that have died from famines just in that period of time. They say presently there's 854 million people estimated in our world right now that are undernourished, that are on the verge of what we would call a famine. Oxfam, a leading relief agency that takes supplies into various parts of the world, they have come to the conclusion that because of the present state of our world, its wars, its economic condition and political issues, that we stand on the brink as a globe of unprecedented famine as we never have before. We're literally seeing God's Word come to pass. We have just went through in recent years a pandemic, COVID-19 in 2020, and while the world has suffered from many pandemics over the years and centuries gone by, COVID-19 stands in our mind as a recent reminder of what happens when disease is unleashed and a world comes to a screeching halt, and all societies and agencies across the world concur that because of our present environment with famines and political crisis and economic problems, that we indeed do stand on the verge of other world pandemics that will shake us even beyond what COVID-19 has. We are living in prophetic moments right now. He said earthquakes would happen. Just this past week, Taiwan had a powerful quake that hit it, leaving buildings leaning. And just a few days ago, here in our own continent, New Jersey was struck by an earthquake. Indeed, the earth is groaning and travailing for a new creation. And not just in the social world and in the natural world, but in the political world. He said, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and nation shall rise against nation. We have reached a point in our political system and our world system that Israel is hated with a hatred that has not been seen in literally decades. Drudge headlines, April the 4th this past week, read that CIA warns Iran of an Iranian attack against Israel, and war cabinets are now meeting and they are expecting that attack at any moment. We are living in an environment where the world is literally on the brink of exploding into World War III. And these are just a few of the signs, both in the social world, the natural world, and in the political world. And if you couple that with the spiritual world, you come very quickly to understand that we are at a prophetic moment right now. Paul described this hour as a great falling away or a rebellion against God. Has anyone ever seen a time where there has been such rebellion against God as we are in right now? And we can easily identify what Paul told the young minister Timothy when he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that at this prophetic moment it would be perilous times, and among many things that he described that would be evident, he said that there would be blasphemers and those that were unholy and those without natural affection and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Those that had a form of godliness or a pretense, but they denied the real experience and the power that is within them. And Jesus emphatically warned that at this prophetic junction that we would stand in prior to His coming, He said, deception will be at an all-time high. He said, be not deceived as we enter into this time, because we're going to be so vulnerable in our thoughts and in our thinking and in our mind that we will embrace concepts and ideas and thoughts that are not of God. This is the prophetic moment that we are in right now. Now, while these particular signs, these particular things, earthquakes and famines and pestilence and the political world and its turmoil and the spiritual world and falling away and all of these things have been something we have looked at for some time, and many have grown quite accustomed to these things transpiring, and they are often overlooked and often placed to the side or even repudiated as being not real at all. We now stand here just a few short hours from an event called an eclipse that has caught the attention of our world and particularly our nation. Somebody, somewhere has had a little knowledge and a little understanding concerning end time events. They may not know a whole lot, but there are certain things that trigger certain concepts and ideas. They recognize the phrase Antichrist. They recognize the phrase Mark of the Beast. They recognize the phrase 666. They recognize the name Armageddon. They recognize the name Tribulation. And so when things begin to happen, especially in our natural world, as this eclipse now dawns upon us, somebody's got the roots somewhere around a Sunday school table. They've heard a preacher somewhere, a Sunday school teacher, an evangelist that has spoke about things happening, and suddenly it raises this awareness. It raises this emotion, and they immediately try to connect dots and put things together. And the question now that is upon the minds of many in North America is, could this be, or is this, does this belong, and does this fit, and is this a part of this process, of this prophetic moment that we are presently in right now? Well, let me tell you what we do know, and I think it's important that we look at what we do know. And the Lord said it like this in Luke chapter 21 and verse number 25, that there would be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nation, perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. We know from Joel and his prophecy concerning Pentecost that he said, I will show, in Joel 2 and 30, he said, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun's going to be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And then we read of John the Revelator, where he talks in John chapter 6 and in Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 8, he talks about stars that fall out of the earth or fall upon the earth from the atmosphere, and the sun is smitten, and a third part of the moon and a third part of the stars and a third part of them is all darkened. And so we've got this little weave or web that weaves its way through Scripture about sun and stars and moon. So naturally, when things begin to happen in the atmosphere, in the not natural process process of the movement of the planets and alignments that come together. There is just enough knowledge and just enough understanding that somebody says, just might it be, and just could it be, and does it play a part, and is it significant, and should we expect any particular thing to happen at all? May I say to you that wherever all of this fits together, I believe that it's all beads that are strung upon the same prophetic string, that when you couple it all together and you make this complete picture, you realize that we are living in prophetic moments. Whether tomorrow is significant or not does not matter. The fact is, there are things that are coming together piece by piece, bead by bead, part by part, and it's all forming this picture. And Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 21 and verse number 28, when these things began to come to pass, then look up. I say to this congregation today, not because there's an eclipse tomorrow, but just because the stage indeed is being set, and the players are coming upon the stage, and the curtains are about ready to be pulled apart, and we're about ready to see the final act. I say it's time to lift up our eyes and to lift up our heads and begin to look and anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a time to have a worldly look. This is time to have a heavenly look. This is not a time to become more secular. This is a time to become more spiritual. This is not a time to become more earthly. This is a time to become more heavenly, because I believe it all comes together and it all fits in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if tomorrow's activities stir, and if tomorrow's activities provoke, I say so be it. And if tomorrow's activities cause thought, I say let you think. And if tomorrow's activities cause us to wonder how and where it fits, I say muse that point strongly if it draws me closer to the cross and to the bleeding side of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must not ignore anything that pulls us toward Him. Somebody clap your hands and just shout a little bit. But this is my concern. This is really what I want us to look at very carefully. Because tomorrow's eclipse and the totality that will take place as it makes its path across North America is really not the issue. The issue and the question that I wish to probe today is, are we in America suffering from a spiritual eclipse? While we concern ourselves with those few short minutes that will take place tomorrow, my question is America experiencing its own spiritual darkness? Has something blocked out the light, the ray, the power of Almighty God? You see, Israel was dealing with a crisis and a dilemma. Babylon was at her gates. Her nation was about to topple. And she was looking to God. And her question to the prophet was, where's God? When is God going to intervene? Why isn't God stepping in to all of this? Why isn't God taking care of the problem? And Isaiah comes back and he responds in Isaiah 59 and 1. And he says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. In short, he was saying this, Israel, God's not the problem. God is not the issue here. You're pointing your finger at God and wondering why God's not come through for me. You're pointing your finger at God and wondering why God has not stepped in. He said, I declare to you that God is as almighty as he's ever been. That his hand is just as reaching and just as powerful and is filled with ability, and his ear can hear the whisper of any prayer that is offered in faith unto him. The prophet contends God is not the problem. Can I say to this congregation on this Sunday morning, God's not the problem in America. Come on now. I said, God's not the problem. You didn't hear me. I said, God's not the problem. God is as mighty as he's ever been. He's as strong as he's ever been. He is as great and powerful. His throne is as high as it has ever been. It is not diminished. It has not come down. He has not become aged and decrepit. He's not falling apart. He's not having a nervous breakdown. He's not got one foot in the grave and another on a banana peeling. God is just as great and omnipotent as he has ever been. Somebody shout yes. So what's the problem? What's the problem? Why is God not hearing? Why does it seem in crisis and dilemmas and catastrophes and disasters that the question always rises, why would God let that happen? Why isn't God doing something about this? So Isaiah kind of pulls back the curtain. He said, let me expose some spiritual elements here now. Let me show you where things really are in the spiritual world. Verse number 2, he says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face that he will not hear. Now, before you think God's petty or trivial, before you think that God needs a little more compassion. I mean, I'm just human. I make mistakes. I falter. I fail. So why should my weakness and my humanity and the frailty of my human nature be a problem with God? We'll read a little further. Because Isaiah's not talking about our weaknesses and our frailties. He's not just talking about moments where we lapse in judgment and we stumble. He's not talking about those times where we do things in that spur of the moment that we shouldn't do. He's dealing now with calculated things. He deals now with choices that are made, decisions that are made, and directions that are taken that are deliberate, decisive, with intent and purpose. Notice what he says now in this 59th chapter. He says, your hands are defiled, your fingers hold iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your feet run to evil, your thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. And you have deliberately taken a straight path and made it crooked. In other words, he said, your hands, your tongue, your eyes, your feet, your fingers, they're corrupt. They're polluted. In other words, he said, your entire body has been invested into ungodliness and evil and sin. Instead of worshiping God with everything that is within us, and giving him our hands and our mouth and our feet and our body, he said, you have taken everything that should have been given to God, and you've taken it and you've invested it with deliberateness and intention and design of evilness into ungodliness. And you have deliberately strayed and walked away, and you've deliberately participated in evil, and you have intently involved yourself in all of this corruption. And then you come back and you wonder, where's God? And why hasn't God stepped in? And why isn't God making a difference in all of this? Look now, he's pulling the curtains back. He's showing them this moment. And here they are. It's starting to become a revelatory revelatory moment to them. They're starting to see something now in verse number 9 of Isaiah chapter 59. It's kind of like this aha moment. Somebody say, aha, aha. It's kind of like the light came on in a dark room. The prophet, I wish. It takes me 45 minutes to get some folks to see, and they never see. He does it in 8 verses, and they go, aha! Do you realize you could get out a whole lot quicker if you just, aha, quicker? They come to verse number 9, and they had this aha moment. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. It's supposed to be noon, but it's like it's night. You know what they were describing? They were describing an eclipse. They were describing a spiritual darkness, that they were standing where there was supposed to be light. They were standing where there was supposed to be divine illumination. They were standing where there was supposed to be this divine revelatory moment where God was reaching with His hand and His ear was open. And they said, it's like there's supposed to be light, but there's darkness. There's something that had come between them and God, and they were suffering from this spiritual eclipse. Can I say to you on this Sunday morning that America is suffering a spiritual eclipse at the present hour? Tomorrow is not the problem. It's what's going on right now. Can I tell you, we are in the grace dispensation right at this moment. We are in the big middle of Acts chapter 2, where God poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, and He said, for the promises unto you and to your children and to those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That means the light that rose in the upper room in Acts chapter 2 has not diminished. It's shining in 2024. Somebody says, well, where's God at? I'll tell you where God's at. We're suffering from an eclipse. America's got their hands in evil. America's got their eyes in evil. America's got their mouth in evil. America's got their feet in evil. And a body that was supposed to be in a temple that worships and magnifies God, instead, we've given this body and this temple to every evil and corrupt thing. And here we are at noonday and it's dark. Here we are where it's supposed to be light, and we can't find our way, and we're groping and we're trying to find out, how do I get through all the mess? How do I get through all the crises? How do I get through all the dilemma? I'm telling you, the problem is not God. We are dealing with a spiritual eclipse. Something's come between us and God. Something's come between us and that bright light. Can I tell you? I don't know. I don't know if I'll get to see it tomorrow night. I'm supposed to be in a meeting in St. Louis, but they say that there's going to be a moment. There's going to be a moment when the moon is positioned just right in front of the sun. That there's going to be this moment. They call it the silver lining, the diamond ring, where it's going to be positioned just right, and just peeking around the edges will be this little sliver of light that's going to come out around the edges of that moon. And when you see that sliver, it's telling you the sun is not gone. The light's still there. It's just peeking. Oh, can I tell America right now? I believe the light is just peeking around the edge. It looks dark right now. The temperatures have dropped. The animal kingdom has got confused. Hey, friend, we're living in a confused hour right now. They say tomorrow that the crickets are going to start chirping. and that the animals are going to get confused and they're going to start heading. The chickens are going to head to roost and the barnyard animals are going to head back into the barn because suddenly the clock gets messed up and time gets turned around. Do you understand what's happening in America right now? We are in a confused moment. Everybody's confused. Nobody knows who or what they are. We are living in such a confused moment. Right now we're groping at the wall. We're groping at the wall. I said we're groping at the wall. Let me bring it home, can I? Let me get it out of America. Let me bring it home. We're in our homes. We're groping. I said we're groping. We're confused. We don't know what's going on. We can't figure it all out. But I see a little silver lining. I see a little ray around the darkness that said we're still in the church dispensation. We're still in an hour of grace. There's still light. His hand can still reach. His ear is still open to the cry of every heart. Woo! Ah! I think I hear him. I hear him. Does anybody? Come on, somebody. Can you hear him? He says, I am. I am. I am the light of the world. You may be groping. You may be stumbling at the wall. But he's still the light. I like it now. I like it now. John 9 and 5 says it like this. I like this. So nudge your neighbor and say, I like this. Listen, John 9 and 5. As long as I am. As long as. You missed it. You missed it. Let me go slow right now. As long as. As long as. As long as. As long as he's God. As long as he's God. As long as he's the omnipotent one. As long as he's the all-powerful one. He said, I am the light of the world. I'm here to tell you that light will never go out. I don't care what you do. I don't care how dark America gets. The light will never go out. And if you want to see the light of God is still available in the 21st century. Somebody clap your hands and just shout a little bit now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Is anybody ready to see the light? I need a little help on this left-hand side. Anybody here in this middle section? Somebody over here on the right-hand side. Come on now. I got to see some light. My world is dark. My world is dark. My world is dark. I got to see some light. I'm groping. I'm stumbling. It's supposed to be noon, but it's dark right now. It's dark. Can I tell you that God has not abandoned America? He's not abandoned. Oh, you didn't believe that. Let me do it again. I said God has not abandoned America. I said God's not abandoned America. Let me bring it home now. God's not abandoned your home either. I said, God's not abandoned your home. Look at Isaiah 59 and 15. Because in this eclipse that's going on in Israel right now. Go ahead, Isaiah 59 and 15. In this eclipse that's going on right now. This groping, trying to find their way through. He said, there are going to be those that departeth from evil. Right in the middle of this darkness. He said there's going to be some that says, I got to get my hands out of what they've been in. I got to get my feet out of what they've been in. Got to get my eyes out of this stuff. Got to get my heart out of it. He said there's going to be those that are going to depart from evil. And he said they're going to struggle. He said because when they make this move out of darkness into light, when they try to abandon evil and embrace righteousness, as they try to give up on the world and embrace godliness, he said they're going to make themselves a prey. Everybody's going to be against them. Everybody's going to oppose them because they've suddenly decided, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. They finally decided, I don't want any more of the mess of this life, I gotta live. I gotta live. Somebody say, I gotta live. I gotta live for God. Is there any goddess in the house right now? I just gotta live for God. Said once you make that decision, he said, you're gonna become a prey. Everybody's gonna say, what in the world? Have you lost your ever living mind? You mean you're joining that bunch of Jesus folks? You're joining that religious cult? You're messed up with the church? Ah, and they're gonna do everything they can. And you're gonna wonder. You're gonna wonder how you're gonna get through all of it. But watch this now. And the Lord. And the Lord saw it. He said, I see you struggling trying to get out of darkness into light. He said, I see you. I see you trying to get that stuff out of your hands, off your feet, off your lips, and out of your eyes. He said, I see you struggling with it. He said, I'm watching it. My eyes are upon you. And the Lord saw it. And in verse number 16, he said, not only did he see that struggle, but he saw something else. He saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. He said, I see him struggling, trying to get out of the darkness into the light. He said, but there's nobody to help him. There's nobody to help him, to assist him. He said, there's no one to come along and say, come on now. Come on, I can get you out of darkness. He said, so you know what? His arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. You know what he said? He said, if nobody else is going to help you, I'll help you. If his hand is not short. I said, his hand is not short, and his arm brought forth salvation. He said, if nobody else is going to help you get out, he said, reach up, get a hold of my hand. I'm going to help you walk out of that darkness. I'm going to help you walk out of that mess. I'm going to help you get in light. Come on, does anybody need a hand? Come on, does anybody need a hand to get out? Woo! Get out, gotta get out. So God said, I'll just do it. I'll help him. Verse 17. Watch now. Watch this now. Look at verse 17. He put on righteousness as a breastplate. Helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for his clothing. And he was clad with zeal as a cloak. The interpretation thereof is this. God's fixing to do war. God's dressed for battle. And he doesn't come with literal weapons that are known in natural warfare, because he's not dealing with natural stuff. He comes with moral weapons, battling against a moral failure, battling against the moral depravity of society. Can I tell you what your God's doing right now? Your God is dressed for battle. Your God is dressed for battle. I understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the very powers of darkness, against the principalities and the rulers and high places. And he says, you can't do it on your own, so I'm going to come. I'm going to come. And it's the incarnation. God becomes man, and he puts on his flesh. But it wasn't just frail flesh. It was an armor. It was an armor that he put on to take on evil, to take on unrighteousness. Oh, in him, says John 1 and 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So he came to Bethlehem, and they thought he was just a babe in a manger. So he started growing up in Nazareth, and they thought he was just a carpenter's son. So he started out in ministry, and they thought he was just another rabbi. But inside was light. Inside was light that darkness could not resist. In him. Somebody say in him. In him was light. And he stepped down into my dark world. He stepped down into my eclipse. He stepped down into my darkness. And he came in to this world. And on Calvary was more than a death. It was a battle. It was a battle for light. Because on Calvary, at 12 noon, there was an eclipse. There was an eclipse that took place. And the sun was blocked out from noon to 3. But it wasn't just darkness. It wasn't just a solar moment. There was a battle going on. A spiritual battle where light and darkness was at each other's throats and battling with one another. Warfare was going on at that moment. And it looked like darkness was going to win. It looked like it won. Darkness had prevailed. It looked like it two. Darkness had prevailed. It looked like it three. Darkness had prevailed. And by 6 o'clock that evening, when they took him from the cross and they put him in the tomb, all of hell shouted and said, "We covered the light. Darkness has won. But don't you count the light out, because I see a sliver of light coming around the darkness." I said, "Don't you count it out. We celebrated it last week. I'm going to celebrate it this week. It began to dawn on the first day of the week." Can I tell you, it's beginning to dawn right now. I said, "It's beginning to dawn. It's beginning to dawn." I said, "It's beginning to dawn." And the stone was rolled back, and his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow, and light that had been covered by darkness came out victorious. Come on now, come on now, come on now. Come on now. This is not just a message for Easter Sunday. This is a message for every Sunday. The light shall prevail. I said the light shall prevail. It shall. I said the light shall prevail. Go read it now. Go read it in Isaiah chapter 60. Verse number 1. Here it is. They've wrestled with an eclipse in chapter 59. They've wrestled with it. But he says now, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Some may live in an eclipse, but if anybody can see the glory of God, his light is going to come shining through. I'm here to tell you, America. I'm here to tell you, Apostolic Worship Center. Oh, friend, we are in the light right now. Jesus has come, and there is light. Would somebody stand with me across this building, and would you lift your hands to heaven and turn your face toward the Lord? Come on, you don't have to walk in darkness. Come on, you don't have to walk in darkness. I said, you don't have to walk in darkness. You may have come in here in an eclipse, but you don't have to leave in one. You may have come in here with darkness in your home and your family. You may have come in here wondering where God's at. I'm here to tell you, I see a silver lining. Come on, light's coming through. I said, light's coming through. All you got to do is give him your hands. I said, all you got to do is give him your mouth. All you got to do is give him your eyes. All you got to do is give Him your feet. And when you give Him this body, light's going to rise up. And light's going to shine. Would you do it with me now all over the building? Would you lift your hands toward heaven? Would you tilt your face toward the Lord? Would you do it right now with me? God, come on, I'm putting my body in this. Come on, I've given my body to every dark thing. But today I'm giving my body a light. That's it. Come on now. That's all He's asking. If you want light, all you got to do is just give Him your body. Give Him your hands. Give Him your mouth. Give Him your eyes. Give Him your feet. Give Him everything you got. And light's going to rise. I said the light's going to rise. The light's going to rise. He's already fought the battle of darkness and He's already won. He can defeat your darkness. I said He can defeat your darkness. He can bring light. I said He can bring light. I need somebody lifting your voice praying with me right now. I need somebody lifting your voice right now. I feel a move of the Holy Ghost across this building. I feel light trying to shine on somebody. I feel light trying to penetrate somebody's darkness right now. Come on. Come on. It's been dark where you're at too long. Come on. It's been dark where you're at too long. You've been in an eclipse too long. God's not gone. He's still there. I said He's still there. We are in a prophetic moment right now. This is time to see the light. I said this is time to see the light. That's it. That's it. That's it. I'm opening these altars right now. I feel a pull of the Holy Ghost across this building. I feel a tug of the Lord all across the sanctuary. I'm opening these altars right now. If you're wanting to step into light, if you're wanting to step into light, and you're willing to give Him everything you got, you're willing to give Him your hands, your voice, your feet, your eyes, your mouth, you're willing to give Him everything, I want you to start down those aisles toward this front right now. I want you to bring your hands, bring your feet. We're going to come to Him in repentance today. We're just going to come and do it together. We're going to come repent before the Lord. We're going to offer Him everything we got. Light's fixing to rise. Come on, I challenge you. Come on. Take a step of faith now. Take a step of faith. Take a movement toward glory. Hallelujah. Light's rising. I said light's rising. Hallelujah. The darkness has already been defeated. That's it now. That's it now. I'm going to wait just a moment. I'm going to wait just a moment longer. Hallelujah. I want everybody that wants to, everybody that can, to get in around this front right now. We're going to call out unto Him. We're going to offer Him our voice, our hands, our feet, everything we got. We're going to repent together before the Lord. And we're going to give Him our hands and everything we have today. That's it, in the name of the Lord. They're still coming. They're still coming. Others, just come on. Come on and join us. My. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Feel an unction of the Spirit of God. Light's rising here right now. Light's rising. Light's rising in this building. Light's rising right now. Come on, it's rising. It's coming up for you. It's coming up for you. Now this is what I want us to do all over the building. I want you to take your hands and your voice. I want you to take your face. And I want you to lift it all toward the Lord. And we're going to repent together before God. We're going to say, God, I've given my hands and my voice and my feet and my life to everything evil. And God, it's put me in darkness and I'm groping. And I'm trying to find my way. And God, I need to be cleansed. Would you do it with me now? Come on, let's pray a prayer of repentance all over the building. Jesus, God, we come to You right now. Dear God, we're offering to You our hands, our feet. We're offering to You our voice. We're offering to You our body. Dear God, we have invested this body into everything evil. We've invested it into everything ungodly. We've given it to every unrighteous act in the world. And dear God, we're living in darkness right now. We're groping at the wall. It's supposed to be noon, but God, I don't see any light, and I don't see any hope. And God, I can't find my way, and I'm confused. So God, I know You're there. I know Your hand's not shortened and Your ear's not heavy. I know You can do anything, God. I know You won the victory over darkness at Calvary. So God, here's my hands, and here's my voice, and here's my body. I give it to You, Lord. Everything You want, it's Yours. It belongs to You, God. I want You to take me in my totality. I need light to rise in me right now. I need light to rise. I want to become a child of light. I want to become a child of light. I don't want to walk in darkness anymore. I want to walk in light. I want to walk in light. That's it now. That's it now. If you believe the Lord has heard that prayer and you're ready to give it to Him, I want you to lift your voice with me and I want you to begin to praise God. And if you're here today and you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost by the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I want you to tilt your head back, open your mouth, because that light's wanting to come inside you. And He wants to fill you with the powerful gift of the Holy Ghost by the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Would you do it with me now all across the building?
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.